This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're making homemade ice pops with Gia and Olive and Moses. And we have an inspiring message from our friends at Voice of Prophecy.
Plus, Endless Praise joins us with music, and we have health news. Don't go anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. We are thrilled you're joining us this Monday morning.
Yes, of course, friends. It's not only Monday, but it's also September 11th. Many of us remember when, on that fateful day 22 years ago, America was fiercely attacked. It's a day many of us will never forget, including myself.
So true. And we want to take a moment to pause and pray for the family members and loved ones of those whose lives were tragically lost that day, and those who were injured and forever changed. So let's take a moment to pray right now. Father in heaven, we just want to pause, because even though it's been 22 years, for far too many people, Lord, it feels like it's been 22 hours, like it's been this very day when tragedy struck America and struck many hearts and families. And Lord, we pray that you would comfort those that are still today, maybe even grieving from that tragedy. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort their hearts and remind us all, Lord, that there is a day coming when you will make all things right and make all things new. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we want to also remind you, friends, that no matter what you face, Jesus invites all of us to find rest in him. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Today, carry your burdens to the great burden bearer and leave them there. He promises to give you rest.
Yes. You know, let's dive a little deeper now and see what took place that day as we take a look back at this day in history.
On this day in history, in 2001, at approximately 8:46 a.m. on a clear Tuesday morning, an American Airlines Boeing 767 loaded with 20,000 gallons of jet fuel crashed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center in New York City. The impact left a gaping, burning hole near the 80th floor of the 110-story skyscraper, instantly killing hundreds of people and trapping hundreds more in higher floors. As the evacuation of the tower and its twin got underway, television cameras broadcasted live images of what initially appeared to be a freak accident. Then, just 17 minutes after the first plane hit, a second Boeing 767 United Airlines Flight 175 appeared out of the sky, turned sharply toward the World Trade Center, and sliced into the South Tower at about the 60th floor. The collision caused a massive explosion that showered debris burning over several buildings and the streets below. America was under attack.
You know, friend, as we live in this world, we are constantly reminded that evil exists. There's brokenness all around us. How can we respond to such acts as Christians? You know, Romans 12:21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, this verse encourages us to resist the negative forces in the world by responding with love, kindness, and a commitment to making positive contributions in the face of adversary. You know, as we are filled with the love of Christ, we are prompted to share that love with others. And moreover, God calls us to be agents of healing and reconciliation. Even in the face of the darkest moments in the world, God's light can shine through the actions of those we choose to love over hatred. And God helps us to build bridges and restore brokenness. So today, let's be intentional in overcoming evil with good. And God will be by your side as you do this.
Amen. Well, it's Monday, and Gia, Olive, and Moses are joining us to share a recipe for homemade ice pops. The kids and adults in your life are sure to enjoy these.
Sorry, guys. I didn't know you were there.
Yeah, I didn't know you were there either.
either.
Me neither. So we are going to make a nice tropical refreshing pop, like an ice block. And I love making our own ice blocks because the ones you get from the supermarket, I'm finding are so expensive now. So let's make our own today. It's very simple. It's an easy recipe. And it looks really cool when people come over and the kids come over and you open them up. So can you put some mango? We've got a whole mango. So put mango in there. It's all tropical type fruits. And what's this? Pineapple. Pineapple juice. So let's pour that in. Oh.
Boys and girls, it doesn't matter if you don't have like a container to put in. You can get like a glass cup or like a little cup.
So you can use, if you don't have these molds at home, like what Olive was saying, you can use a plastic cup or a paper cup and just stick your little stick in there, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Some kids don't like the zest, so you don't have to put it in there, but this is just lime zest, okay?
Don't.
Okay. Can I put a little bit of lime zest in it?
A teeny bit,
okay? That's just a teeny bit of lime zest, okay? It's just going to add to it. Don't worry. It'll make it super special. And then we blend it till it's mixed through.
Put a lid on that.
Done.
Yummy.
And we're going to put them, so you fill up the cups, the little mold.
Yeah.
Three quarters full. And then, yep, and then you add a couple of raspberries. So put it in all the way down. Let's stick it all the way down. So I've just stuck, as you can see, the kiwi fruit. Make sure you stick it to the wall so you can see it when you're finished. Okay, and I'm going to actually show you because we actually made some yesterday. And the trick with these molds are to put them in some hot water. Just put hot water around it first. And that will help it to unstick that from the side of the mold. Okay. So we've got to show that. There we go. Work the treat. Wow. Look how awesome those colors look. It is awesome. And you can actually see the speckles from the zest in there as well. Mama. And there you have it. Do you want to have a try?
Mama.
Is that cool?
Mama.
Yeah. I'll make some more. We'll see you next time with some more recipes. Say bye.
Bye.
In Christ, we find freedom. Endless Praise now joins us as they put this truth to song, as they sing Song of Freedom.
Jesus is love, it's flesh and blood, so sad. is the song of freedom.
Have you tried any of our recipes? Did you enjoy today's music? Well, don't forget to let us know. We love to hear from you. Leave us a message on our official Wake Up With Hope Facebook page and talk to us.
Yes, please do. And if you're enjoying today's show, share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more or rewatch any segment. Ah, and subscribe to YouTube channel to keep up with us.
When we return, friends, we will have health news. Stay right with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We believe our program will be an amazing boost to your day.
Right now, our friends from Go Healthy for Good are back with today's exclusive health news episode. We're talking about omega-3s, magnesium, and aneurysms.
In the headlines today, diet rich in omega-3 fats for headaches, magnesium lowers cerebral aneurysms, and heart failure associated with cancer. Omega-3 and omega-6 fats are precursors to oxylipins, which are involved in the regulation of pain and inflammation. Omega-3s reduce pain and inflammation, while omega-6s make it worse. A study published in the British Medical Journal gave 180 migraine sufferers one of three diets. One group received just a standard diet. One received the standard diet with supplements of omega-3, and the third group got the extra omega-3s and fewer omega-6s. Eating extra omega-3 fats resulted in shorter, less severe headaches than before the diet. Those on the high omega-3 and low omega-6 diet found they had 4 fewer headache days per month, while those getting extra omega-3s had 2 fewer headache days per month. So if you're plagued by headaches, increase your intake of chia, hemp, flax seeds, walnuts, and spinach. And reduce your intake of meats and refined vegetable oils to make a healthier, happier you. A study published in the journal Neurology has found that higher magnesium levels in the blood is associated with a lower risk of intracranial aneurysms. Aneurysms are a bulge in a blood vessel or artery that weakens the walls and puts that blood vessel at risk of bursting, resulting in a brain hemorrhage, stroke, or death. We know that magnesium helps to regulate blood pressure and cell function in the lining of blood vessels, but it was not known what impact higher magnesium levels might have on brain aneurysms until a huge study was done on nearly 24,000 people comparing the rates of aneurysms with their magnesium levels. Researchers discovered that those with higher magnesium levels got fewer aneurysms. Foods that are high in magnesium include green leafy vegetables, nuts, seeds, legumes, and whole grains. Whereas alcohol, carbonated or fizzy drinks, and coffee can block the absorption of magnesium from our foods. So stick to water or herbal teas and avoid those unhealthy drinks. Researchers studied the medical records of over 100,000 patients in Germany who had heart failure and compared their rates of cancer with the same number of patients who did not have heart failure. They found that 25% of those with heart failure got cancer, while only 16% without heart failure got cancer. This elevated level of cancer applied to every kind of cancer they studied. The researchers point out that heart failure doesn't necessarily cause cancer or vice versa. There may be a number of reasons for the correlation, including that patients who engage in behaviors like smoking increase their risk for both cancer and heart failure. Similarly, the population without heart failure are likely to engage in behaviors known to reduce both heart failure and cancer risks, like maintaining a healthy weight, exercising regularly, avoiding alcohol and tobacco, and eating a whole food, plant-strong diet. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
Don't go anywhere, friends. When we return, our friends from Voice of Prophecy will join us for a devotional thought. We'll be right back in just a minute. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We trust you're feeling the love and joy of Jesus this Monday morning. It's now time for our morning devotional.
Our friends from Voice of Prophecy are here with us to share.
John chapter 12 and Mark 14 record one of the most iconic stories in Scripture. In fact, it was Jesus himself in these chapters who prophesied that wherever the gospel was told, the story found there would be shared. What story am I referring to? Well, none other than Mary's selfless gift to Jesus. Prior to this story, Jesus has worked the outrageous miracle of bringing Lazarus back from the dead after being dead for 4 days. As you can imagine, this has caused quite a stir among the people, to include the Jewish leaders, who are seeing the writing on the wall, what they feel will be an inglorious end to their reign. In their minds, there is no question about it. In order to secure their positions and the kingdom, Jesus must be put to death, along with Lazarus, who now is one of the greatest living witnesses of the divine power resting upon Jesus. John and Mark open these chapters with a supper at Simon's house. There seems to be a good number of people there, including the disciples and Martha, Mary, and the recently resurrected Lazarus, these three being family members of Simon. As typical, we could expect that Martha was a busy bee, running around making sure everything was just right. And can you imagine the stir around Lazarus? I mean, we all have a story to tell, but how many of us can say that we were dead, but then heard the voice of Jesus calling us out of the tomb? I can only imagine all of the questions that he was likely peppered with. What was it like to die? Did you feel anything? Did you see anything? Did you actually hear the voice of Jesus when he called you out of the grave? But how could you hear him if you were dead? Did you know what had just happened, or were you confused about why you were standing there wrapped in funeral cloth? And the list of questions go on and on. Honestly, I can't blame them for asking. If I had been there, I would have been the first one firing away. It's crazy to think about, and it's even more crazy that after a miracle of such caliber, there were still naysayers, unbelievers, and hateful murder-plotting men in that room. I mean, you've got this guy who all know was dead, was ordered to come out of the grave, and had no choice but to obey the order. This should have been enough to make men's knees weak and for all to declare that they were in the presence of the divine. At the sight of Jesus, every knee should have bowed and every tongue confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. But instead, the miracle just served to harden the hearts of some, including Judas. Startling as it might be, it's not surprising. Take the Pentecost story found in Acts chapter 2. After Peter's compelling sermon, Scripture records that the listeners were cut to the heart and asked, "What must we do to be saved?" As a result, thousands were converted in a day. But in contrast, when Stephen preached his historical indictment against the people in Acts chapter 7, Scripture records that they also said the same thing. They were cut to the heart. But instead of asking about salvation, they stopped their ears, ran towards him like madmen, then stoned him. This, we are told, is the result of truth. It's a two-edged sword. To some, it is the life-giving spring of water. To others, it's a condemning rebuke that must be quieted at any cost. The latter is what Lazarus's resurrection was to many, and what the main story in John 12 and Mark 14 would be as well, especially to the traitor in their midst. While all are feasting and likely marveling at Lazarus, one guest of ill repute quietly makes her way to Jesus. In her hands, she has a token of her deep love and indebtedness to his long-suffering grace. This fragrant, costly oil of spikenard, locked away in an alabaster flask, she releases by breaking open the container. She then anoints Jesus' head and feet, drying them with her own hair. Why she thought she could possibly keep this gift a secret, we're not sure. And truth be told, she probably didn't give it much thought. She simply wanted to give something to Jesus that expressed her deep gratitude. But as soon as the flask was cracked, the powerful, odorous smell filled the room. Immediately, all eyes were on Mary, the prostitute, and I can imagine the flurry of conversation, whispering, and indignation that erupted. It's clear that this perfume needed no introduction among those present, and that Judas knew its value right away and wasted no time to condemn what he called a waste. His pious pretense was to help the poor, but greed was his true motive for condemning her. Ashamed, scared, and confused, Mary probably wished the earth would just swallow her up. But then Jesus spoke. The same voice that commanded the dead to come out of the tomb ordered that they leave her alone. But she has done a good thing, predicting his death. You see, she had prepared him for burial. There are many lessons to be learned in this story. The love that flows from one who has been forgiven much, the hate that brews in the hearts of the proud and greedy, and the love and protection that Jesus shows for those who are weak, to name a few. But for me, the greatest story ever told is found in these two chapters. Not to be missed is what the alabaster flask represents. Beyond the sacrificial love, gift of Mary to her Redeemer, the flask symbolizes Jesus himself. He is the alabaster flask. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, Jesus pledged to give his life to fallen man. This gift is a most precious gift, the most precious gift. No value can be attached to it. As the cost of the perfume was so expensive, some say a year's wages, that it was incomprehensible to be poured out in one swift, seemingly rash instance, much more was the gift of Jesus' life for us. And just like the smell of the gift permeated the room, the gift of God permeates the whole world. All are affected by the sweet aroma of the sacrifice of Christ. Some are powerfully drawn to Christ because in him is forgiveness, grace, life, love, and the hope of eternity. Others are disgusted by what a life Christ has to offer and waste the sacrifice that Christ made by turning away to the wickedness of this world. Yes, friends, the alabaster flask is none other than Jesus himself, broken and spilled out for a rebellious world. And the fragrance of his gift is everlasting. This is one perfume that will never fade, falter, or fail. This morning, Jesus is reaching out to you. He desires to fill your life with the sweet aroma of joy and beauty. He understands what you have been through. He knows your pain, fears, struggles, hopes, and dreams. He deeply feels your heart and wishes to unite it with his. He has made all provision for your salvation. All of heaven is at your disposal if you will simply let him be Lord of your life. Mary was steeped in sin and sorrow. The Bible says that Jesus cast out 7 demons from her. And even when she was pouring out her gift and being sharply criticized, I imagine she wondered if Jesus would criticize her too. Instead, as he did when she was cast at his feet for stoning, Jesus declared that he did not condemn her. Instead, he blessed her actions and immortalized them forever. That is the heart of God. What he did for Mary, he wishes to do for you, for me, for everyone. I invite you today to take his loving hand. Let him lift you up and carry you. Let his sweet aroma fill the air. I promise you will never be the same. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the gift of your son. Thank you for pouring out his life on our behalf, and that because of him, we have the ability to be saved. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgive us from all our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, I'm thankful to start this week with you, our Hope Channel family, once again. We at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day.
Thank you so much.
And we're especially thankful that you joined us today to watch Wake Up With Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend, please visit hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we invite you to join us tomorrow morning. Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. We will have a dedicated prayer session and a delicious potato recipe. Sure sounds good, so be sure to tune in.
Oh, I love potatoes.
Yes.
I'm gonna take a look. You know, and if you enjoyed today's program, we invite you to visit hope.study to receive your very own free Bible study guides so you can learn how to live a life filled with hope and love for Jesus.
Our free Bible studies have helped so many people connect with Jesus. So friends, we want to encourage you to start yours today. Again, visit hope.study.
And we have a Bible promise we want to share with you before we close. Today's Bible promise comes from Psalm chapter 72, verse 13.
It says, He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death.
You know, we hope that you were blessed with today's program and that your day will be filled with reminders of the love and joy and peace found only in Jesus. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today, Lord, you know our hearts, you know our every need. But most importantly, Lord, you know our greatest need. Save us, Lord. Save us. We give to you our hearts and pray that you would respond to our need. And Lord, we know, we trust that you will be faithful to your promise today. And we thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.